Good morning, church. Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us all here to worship together in this time, and we are celebrating what God can do in the world around us. And we see it in our newspapers every day, how God needs to intervene, that humans can't do it on our own. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in the world around us. Yesterday, Kristen and I were traveling to a friend of ours on the other side of Pittsburgh. We were hoping to chop down trees. I was going to use a chainsaw. And you know how much I enjoy destroying. Oh, I was looking so excited. But it rained all day, so we weren't able to do it. But we still made the visit. And on the way into town, just to check my Facebook to see what was going on with my friends, I read about this tragedy that took place in an area that we were going through, because the Squirrel Hill tunnels take you right under that community. And spent a day together with our friends, and on the way back, traveling through, as we were going through that tunnel, I couldn't help but think that up above us, as we were traveling through that tunnel, were people whose lives will never be the same because of this event that took place in their worshiping community. And what a tragedy that is. And my heart breaks for them. And I pray that yours are as well. And that we begin to look for what we can do. And the bishop is right. We spend these days together just praying that God will give us the direction, that God will give us a sense of peace. But to know that there are those who were just planning to spend today watching a Steeler game or just to live their daily lives. And that's been taken away in a heartbeat, and it should break our hearts. And what it's done for your pastor is that I spent all this week, preparing for a sermon, preparing for a time to speak to you. I had everything ready to go Friday so that I could spend Saturday enjoying my time with my friends, and then spending most of yesterday going, ripping that up, because I don't think. I think God's laid something else on our hearts today that it's important to talk about. But let's take a look at what Scripture has to tell us in these words of Mark. And as I was spending time in this word again this morning, seeing how these words speak, the Holy Spirit uses these words to speak into even this time. So will you listen? And I invite you to stand with me in body, in spirit, in mind, in heart. All of those things, showing reverence to God, who's pointed to by the words on the page by this author, Mark. What is God saying to you as we read this together? Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging, getting them as they were going past. when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we have heard your word in Scripture, let us hear your word proclaimed in this time. It is yours, not mine. Do away with whatever agenda I would have, so that it's your word and your word only that is brought to your people called by your name. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a psychological term called splitting. And splitting is a term that means that you take someone and you only focus on certain aspects of them and do away with the other aspects of them. And that can work for good or for bad. If you are deeply, madly in love with someone, you may engage in an activity with them called splitting, where all of their negative qualities are done away with. And all that you focus on is on their goodness, their beauty, the wonderful, beloved, loving aspects of them. And so when they disappoint you, you are hit like a hammer because you have forgotten. You have done away with their good aspects. And all you have focused on for so long is their good qualities, and their bad qualities have been pushed away. But those qualities about them that were negative didn't leave because you forgot about them. They're still there. And suddenly they can hit you. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that this person was a backstabbing gossip. But as I'm exploring their life more, I'm finding there are things about them that I don't agree with. But it can also work in the other way, that you can take someone and you can see nothing but the bad aspects of them, so that the good aspects of them get pushed aside, so that there's nothing that they can do, nothing that they can do that is ever good enough, that you ever would approve of. Look at that person over there eating their crackers. I hate the way they eat their crackers. I wish they'd stop eating crackers. In fact, I wish they'd just drop dead. You know? Look at that guy. He thinks he's so good walking on water like that. He can't even swim. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, and we do that not only with people, but we do that with groups. And as I am looking at our political situation in America, every time we get closer to an election, we begin to see people experiencing psychological distress. And why is that? It's because they are beginning to split. Look at those Democrats over there. They want to destroy America. They hate America. There's nothing good that those people could ever do. Look at those Republicans over there eating their crackers. Donald Trump. Yeah, that guy. Just saying his name makes me want to vomit. Trump. You know? It gets to the point where we can't see the good in the other side. But it also gets to the point where we can't see the bad in our own side. And there are good and bad in all aspects of our politics. And why is that? Because our politics are simply an expression of our humanity. How we govern ourselves is an expression of how we lead in our individual lives. And that expands to how we lead in a city, and expands to how we would lead in a country. It's all human, which means that there are good and bad on both sides. But when we split, all we see is the good in our side, and all we see is the bad in the other side. There's a reason that the politicians have put a place on your ballot where you don't even have to think anymore. One says Democrat, one says Republican, one button does it all for you. Don't do your thinking. Let us do that, say the parties. We'll choose for you who you want. And just one press of a button, and it's all done. And it's all done. We have so turned ourselves into camps and tribes that we have forgotten that there are people on the other side who love this country just as much as the other side, who love the people just as much as the other side, who want a better way of life for their children just as much as you do, as is the same for them. But when we break ourselves into these camps of I'm all right and you're all wrong, we are doing a grave injustice, because we are forgetting that those are people over there. They're just ideas now. They're just you know, I hate their ideas, and therefore I don't like them too much either. They're trying to destroy the country. They're trying to tear us all apart. Forgetting that our part in that is that we also do the same things. Only we call it good because it's our side that does it. We forget that when someone rises up within our ranks, that they're not all good. And someone raises up in their other side's ranks, they're not all bad. But all of us together have good and bad qualities about us. And we've forgotten that. And so we spend all of our time doing this. There's nothing that I hate more than turning on a television set and turning on the news and watching box A and box B. And okay, let's spend about 2 minutes solving all the problems of the country. Go! It's like going to a dog fight. And we don't go to dog fights because they're vicious and cruel. But that's what we're doing. We've turned our politics into a game of who's going to win. And it's a zero-sum game, and that means that if I win, you have to lose. I can't afford to give you a single victory on the other side, because if I do, then that means I've lost something. And quite the opposite is the case. That when we are all winning, we are finding that there's room enough in our country, there's room enough in our world for people who totally disagree with us. Who totally disagree. And if that's not enough, if you can't get past the fact that yes, I am right, and no, they are wrong, Pastor, and I will prove it to you, because I have the news, I have the internet articles to prove it to you. I have all of the evidence to show you how evil they are. Then I would say to you, then what does Jesus say about those people? If you think that they are your enemy, then what should you be doing to them? Should you be seeking to destroy them? Or should you be digging even deeper into your prayer life in prayer for them? I would suggest that Jesus would have you pray. Even if they persecute you, even if they want you dead, you pray for them all the more. Not seeking for your own glory, but seeking for the glory of God. So that your life becomes an example to the world of what it can look like when the heavenly kingdom has invaded our politics. So that we don't go into our politics with the idea that I'm going to have to destroy the other side. But instead, I have to pray all the more for the politician that I disagree with. That if I can't stand that man or that woman, then I need to spend even more time in prayer. And guess what that'll do? Guess what that'll do? That'll change the world. And it'll change beginning with your heart. It'll change beginning with your attitude. It'll change beginning with your perspective on the world. We have enough negative people in the world. We don't need the church to add to it. We don't need the people within the church to add to it. Church, I am challenging you to be the voice of change in the world. To be the voice of peace. To be the voice that speaks words of comfort and hope into a world that is looking at itself and saying, we are going to destroy ourselves. And it's all their fault. But it has to begin by examining our own selves. Don't do the psychoanalysis on the other side. Look into your own heart. Where are the areas in your own heart, in your own politics, in your own personal engagement with the world, where you are engaging in splitting, where you're seeing nothing but the bad in someone else? Also, where you're seeing nothing but the good in someone else. And realize that you are looking at a human being. You're looking at somebody who has hopes and dreams and problems and issues in their own lives that maybe you don't know about. People put out a persona. There's things about me you don't know. There's things about me you don't want to know. And you don't want to know them because I don't want you to know them, so I keep them to myself. We all do that. And no matter how high up in our politics, in our sports, that someone rises, they remain a human. They remain flawed. I remember in my own sports world, I absolutely thought that Mario Lemieux was Superman. That he could do no wrong and that he was invincible. You know who Mario Lemieux is? Great hockey player in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And then one day he gets on the television and he tells the world, I have cancer. And I need to go away from the game. I need to step back from the game to deal with this human problem that I have. And so he did. And I realized by watching that this was a man. He had great skills. He was a great leader. He was a man who was just put on a pedestal, who was actually a man. Who was a man who had a serious issue to deal with in his life. And whatever your politics are, whether you've put somebody on a pedestal, whether you can't see any good in them, they are a human being. They're a person with feelings. They're a person who have love in their life. Think of something good about somebody who you just can't stand and see how that'll change the world. And remember that when somebody who you've put on a pedestal lets you down, that's not the end of the world. That's simply that they're a human being. They've fallen short. You're going to do it too. When I see this story of Nicodemus, no, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, he is an outcast in his community. And he is an outcast in his community because he's blind. And in that culture, they had taken the Levitical codes about the priestly aspects. A priest should be a man who can see. A priest should be a man who has two functioning legs. A priest should be a man who is a man. You know, they took all of those aspects and they applied it to their whole culture. And so when someone was blind, when someone was lame, when someone had a skin disease, they were outcast not from their worship, they were outcast from their community because there was something wrong with them. And they had misinterpreted Scripture to say that God didn't approve of them. In fact, there is a conversation in Scripture where someone is brought to Jesus who is blind from birth, and the disciples ask, who sinned in this man's life, him or his parents, so that he was born blind? Jesus said, nobody sinned so that this man was born blind. He was born so that he could show the power of God. So when Jesus heals the sick, when Jesus heals the blind, when Jesus heals those with skin diseases, when Jesus heals the lame, not only is he healing their physical body, but he is restoring them to their community. He is welcoming them back into society. Those whom Jesus has welcomed, we cannot turn away. When we see someone who just looks at the other side, and this happens on both sides, who becomes so filled with hate that they see those people as nothing less than objects to be destroyed, then we are in serious need of a breaking of our hearts and a revival within our community. My heart broke this week, not only in the way that I saw the events yesterday, but in the way I saw our politics playing out. Now we can't even let our political leaders go into a restaurant without, you know, trying to harass them. We're sending bombs to people's homes. How far are we willing to sink before God breaks us? God loves you, and so do I.